I see some familiar faces, and so I wanted to start out by asking how many people in the room have ever been to an HL7 working group meeting? A good amount. How many are pretty unfamiliar with HL7? Okay. A few. Okay. So something in between. All right. So I am a fairly new co-chair of the HL7 Public Health and Emergency Response Work Group. And for those of you who may be unfamiliar with HL7, it's an ANSI accredited standards development organization. We call those SDOs for short. And it is very widespread in the healthcare arena. It's been very successful. It is an international organization. So there's an effort made not only to have standards for the US, but also that work internationally. And it's, as Anna very effectively showed, it's sort of where the standards are generated. And then a lot of other organizations adopt HL standards and do further things with them, implementation guides and so forth. And the Public Health and Emergency Response Work Group addresses the needs of public health, which is what we're all at the conference to talk about. And some of you may know there's primarily two big products of HL7. One is version 2, and one is HL7 version 3. And HL7 version 2 is a messaging protocol primarily, and it's been very successful, particularly in the United States, but worldwide as well. But there's particularly a very large installed base in the United States. HL7 version 3 is a completely different style of technology. It's based on XML. And who knows what XML is? Most people. Oh, that's cool. Okay. There's a large commitment in a lot of other countries to HL7 version 3, particularly in the government, in the national infrastructure. So for example, in Canada and the UK. And it's one of those technologies that, because a previous technology was very successful in the United States, in some ways HL7 version 3 is getting more traction overseas. Kind of like cell phone technology, you have a large base of landlines installed, and in some less developed countries, cell phone technology developed more quickly and became more prevalent simply because there was not the existing infrastructure of landlines. So it's there's a little bit of that kind of a phenomenon going on with HL7 version 2 and HL7 version 3. So in the United States, you see it more in new areas, in decision support and in structured documents, PHRs, and in interoperability. Who is familiar with a structured document? Okay, a little bit less of that. We'll talk a little bit more about that. So this, again, along the lines of Anna's introduction, there are organizations that adopt and work with HL7 standards, including integrating the healthcare enterprise, which we're going to hear more about in a little bit, as well as HITSB, which we're also going to hear more about. One of the organizations that I do a lot of work with is the American Immunization Registry Association, and they have an implementation guide for HL7 version 2. And I see Sandy Thames over there from the North American Association of, is it now Central Cancer Registry? Yes. I think the name changed a little bit. So they also have implementation guides for version 2. Is that right? So those are some examples of public health domains that use HL7. So the Public Health and Emergency Response Work Group at HL7 really, I mean, public health includes everything, right? So we have, you know, here are examples of some of the domains that we work with: immunizations, cancer registries, tuberculosis, vital statistics, outbreak management, public health reporting. So really, public health cuts across all of, you know, all of clinical medicine, really, in one way or another. I'd say the international outreach is developing. HL7 has reorganized recently, and there's a little bit more international integration because of that. In the Public Health and Emergency Response Group, which we like to call FER, although that leads people to misspell it sometimes. P-H-E-R, not F-U-R. But one of our contributing members from Canadian Health InfoWay really took the lead in developing version 3 specifications for immunizations. And so we're trying to reach out and get more international participation. And I would like to say that this is good for the United States because HL7 version 3 particularly is being implemented in other countries, and what we could be end up being faced with is by the time the United States gets around to developing it, there may be a lot of technology present in other countries, and including vendors and technology companies who are then, we have a situation where the foreign companies are more up to speed than the American companies. So that's just something to think about in talking about transition in public health to version 3. One of the things we started working with in HL7 is a domain analysis model, which is a high-level description of a domain and of their use cases. So for instance, we have an immunization domain analysis model and a TB domain analysis model. And this is more oriented toward being able to connect with domain experts. Sometimes you get this separation where you have a bunch of technology people making up standards, but they don't necessarily make sense in the real world. And so what you want is a blend of technology people and domain experts. And a domain analysis model becomes a tool for bridging that gap and creating that communication. And in theory, you would do the domain analysis model first and then derive the standards next, but the standards have already been derived, so we're kind of working backwards. But maybe that'll change in the future. Okay, we talked about this a little bit. All right. In HL7, if you go to a working group meeting, most of the time it actually is spent talking about version 3, and that has been the case for some number of years. Our group has renewed its version 2 efforts recently, and that is because we're kind of now starting to create some focus on how do we get from version 2 to version 3, or do we even want to in public health? So we have started to look at version 2 again, and particularly new implementation guides that are coming out, for example, for immunization registries. And there is getting to be discussion of running version 2 and version 3 in parallel in public health. And just for those who may not have familiarity with what it looks like, this is a very, very abstracted, high-level view. Version 2 is simply a lot of delimited text strings sent in messages. It's a message-oriented protocol. So it's oriented toward point-to-point communication. System A communicates with System B and sends it a message. And the structure of it is very simple. It's been very successful because it's easy for implementers to pick up and implement. But it has some characteristics, like, for instance, the order of values matters in the message. You can't really tell what the value means unless you know where in the message it sits. Version 3 is an entirely different beast, and it's XML-based, and you have values that are labeled with tags. So you get away from the idea that order matters, and it's really oriented toward internet communication. XML very much resembles HTML, which is used, every time you pull down a browser page, you're using protocols like that. So for instance, in a message, you'd have a start of a message, say in version 3. Did I get my slides out of order? No. So for instance, in version 3, you could have a message and you'd have a tag here that basically says, here's the allergy info, for instance, and then it follows by the information itself. And you'll have a whole bunch of these, and they could address different topics, or the message could be completely oriented toward allergy information, and another message toward medication information, and another message toward immunization information, like that. Now, another thing you can do in version 3 is documents, structured documents. This is, again, a very, very abstracted view, but these tags and these values that you saw previously in 3 messages could be put together inside a document with a described structure to it, and they're treated as a whole. So the structure inside is sort of treated all or none, and also it has some authentication. So you can sign the document. You can say this document came from this system or from this provider. So a document has a little bit more structure to it. I just wanted to talk about the idea of a common information model. And this is something that is still fairly elusive, but is beginning to be talked about in reference to documents. And basically what you have is you tie each document to a template which describes what's inside of it. And you in the wrapper of the document refer to that template. So if you have standardized templates, then any document that complies to that template basically can be understood by anybody who knows how to read the template. And there's just an illustration of what that might look like. One of the ideas that has been discussed recently about possible ways to transition from version 2 to version 3 might be to build document repositories in parallel and with the existing version 2 standards that are out there. And so what you would have is your current HL7 version 2 connections that are in place, for example, to an immunization registry in public health. But you could also have some systems that speak version 3, particularly in a document style. And you could actually do translation between one and the other. And this is quite possible. And in this case, you might have a document repository and a document registry, where a document repository contains the documents, and the registry is just metadata about the documents that describes where to go and find them. So you could actually have several repositories that are managed by a registry. And so this is a topic that has very recently come under discussion in the HL7 public health group. I'm not going to spend a lot. And there, if you would like to talk about that more, you could visit the exhibit hall and come to the interoperability showcase, and that will be talked about more there. So this just shows how translation could happen. In version 2, you could have strings in an HL7 version 2 message, and they could just be translated into a document in this format. And so this just shows how one possible way that version 2 and version 3 could live side by side and work together. And that's it. And actually, we're going to hold questions till the end, so we don't need this question slide. All right? Thank you.